Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. It's good to be with you on another Sunday morning. To those of you who are not in the East Coast or in Philadelphia, where I am, it's snowing. And I don't mean trying to snow, it's snowing. And not complaining. It's the time of the year. It's time for this type of weather, so no need complaining about it. We thank God that we're still here to be able to appreciate it. Not having flashbacks of when I was a kid trying to play in it, that those days are done. We're not looking at trying to do that. Now it's kind of more of a nuisance now because I have to consider what I'm going to do about getting the snow off the car and all that. Well, we'll see what happens. But anyway, we thank the Lord for this another Sunday, another day that we're able to come together like this and to be able to worship and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. Having said that, let us stop for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for this day, for allowing us to be able to meet like this. We thank you for each and everyone who has joined in with us, even on this meeting. We don't take it for granted that we have to do this, that we have to be here, that you have to even be gracious enough to allow us to come together like this. We're grateful and thankful to you for allowing us to be able to come together. And Lord, I'm praying that as you would have me to proclaim this good news, Lord, I pray that you would allow me to be used as an instrument in your hand, void of my pride and my vanity and my ego, but Lord, just to be able to say what you would have to be said, even the way you would have it to be said. And I pray, as always, Lord, that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified. For this I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. But during this month of December, we felt the unction to stay with this Christmas theme. We spoke a little bit about Joseph last week from a different perspective. Is I like to say a little bit different than usual. And today we're going to be speaking about someone else that I dare say is rarely, if ever, spoken of in association with the Christmas story, but that's what we're doing today. Having said that, I would ask that you turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter. Those of you who are able to do so, I ask that you would do that for the benefit of those who are not able to open up their Bibles. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, starting at the 25th, the second chapter, starting at the 25th verse and reading through the 35th verse. And I'll be reading in the New International Version this morning. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." We have read the Gospel of St. Luke from the second chapter, the 25th through the 35th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. May he sanctify his truth deep down in our hearts. You know, for believers, the followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I guess for many other people as well, we can't help but notice how there are so many people living such ungodly lives today. Ungodly. Now, I'm not just talking about those who aren't Christians, who choose not to be Christians. I say living ungodly lives. Now, I'm not a proponent of all of the different religions that are out here. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and there's no other way to get from earth to heaven except through him. And that is our ultimate goal, our ultimate desire. There's no working for it. There's no bidding for it. There's no trying to weigh and say, "Oh man, my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds." No, none of that. The only way to get from earth to glory is by the shed blood and through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's a little things in between there about what you must do, because Jesus himself said, "You must be born again. You can't even see the kingdom, let alone become part of it, unless you've been born again, born from above." It's a spiritual thing. And no, I'm not going to go into all of the details about that now, but you know, you're always welcome to get in contact with me, and I'll be more than willing to discuss this, share this, send you more information about this, whatever it is we need to help open up and illuminate you more about this. But we can't help but notice how, like I said, there are so many people living in such ungodly lives today, living con not just, like I said, not just following, not following the ways of the Word of God, but going com against it. See, it's one thing for me not to do what you say, but it's another thing for me to do contrary to what you say. And we have a lot of people living completely contrary to way the Word of God teaches. I mean, lascivious and debaucherous living seems to be the order of the day. You know, and many people seem to be living outside of the legal and even the common rules of society. You know, and they're just doing what they want to do, go where they want to go, say what they want to say to anybody they want to, and it's just don't care, just do what you want to do type of attitude. You know, even the idea of the family dynamic is all but gone out the window. I mean, people are having children, raising them any kind of way, or in a lot of cases, just allow them to almost raise themselves. Getting married means almost nothing to so many people. I mean, God's perfect design means nothing. We just do what we want to do. We don't need to be bound by a man's laws, and we don't need a piece of paper to say that we should be together. I mean, people rationalize and justify in so many different ways how they want to do and how they want to live the way they live. And A lot of it is even evident by the leaders that we have running our country, the people who we have in position of leadership, the ones that have been voted in. And a lot of us have to say, well, man, we don't like him. We don't like this one. We don't like that one. Yeah, you voted him in there. Some might they say that I'm just pointing out the obvious. Okay, and there are others who are saying that, hey, this stuff that's going on has been predicted and prophesied, long time ago by many different people, not just what the word of God is saying, but so-called people like, Nostradamus and other so-called seers or whatever they you want to call them. Okay. And just with this little bit of knowledge, so many people have elected to simply go through the motions of their lives. They just could do what they do, go to work or do whatever it is they do every day and accept things as being the way it is today. It's just the way it is. A lot of people just chalk it up just, oh, they hear people saying what they want to say out of their mouths, disrespecting elderly as well as children and all of this. Well, that's just the way it is today. That's what they do. And so many people just go through what they go through every day, just waiting for their lives or the world or both to come to an end. Now, of course, we know that there are people who are living by their religious convictions, and depending on what that person's religious beliefs are, they might be able to say that, hey, this is not the first time the people of the world were found to be living in a fashion that was not pleasing to God. Now, we read in the Word of God that during one of these times in a place and in a during this period, there was a righteous and devout man who was praying to Jehovah God, living according to his laws, to his words. Back then they had the Old Testament, Isaiah, and, the prophets Elijah, Moses' writings, and so forth. And while he was praying to God and living, according to God's laws, he was waiting for the Messiah to come and restore Israel back to a time of peace, a time where they were being obedient for a change, and everything was that they were just comfortable with living. They're good God's people, and every now and then they would do the right thing. But also every now and then they were disobedient, stiff-necked, complaining and whining and going on their own direction, doing what they want to do. And some of y'all say, wow, sounds a lot like my children. Well, they might be. But this is what was going on in the land at this particular time. And this man who was found to be righteous and devout, he was not just sitting around complaining, saying, well, it's just the way it is now, and one day it'll all be over and looking forward to the end to come. He was praying, still living according to God's laws. The same law that would prophesy about the coming Messiah, and he believed it. And in And while he was waiting for the Messiah to come again, he's praying not just about the way things going on, Lord, bring it to a close, Lord. He was praying for the people. Praying for the people. Not throwing in the towel, not throwing his hands up and say, there's no point. Everybody else is doing what they want to do, living the way they want to live. I might as well do the same thing. No, he didn't take that attitude. He was obedient. Sincerely, a true believer in God's word. And he lived that way. He lived that way. Now, some of you I know, you say, well, wait a minute. What does this have to do with the Christmas story? Because I know who you're talking about. You're talking about this man named Simeon. This man named Simeon. Okay? Now, let's pause a little bit and just say a couple of things about Simeon, because we don't know a whole lot about him, but what we do know says a lot about him. For example, we know that his name means hearing, or he hears and obeys. Or in other words, he's hearing with acceptance. What is he hearing? God's word. He's hearing the voice of God, the will of God, the way of God, and he's receiving it. Not just hearing the word, but he's living it. He's living it. This is what, and this is sick, even signified by his name itself. And we do know he has the testimony of being righteous and devout. Not religious. I didn't say religious. I said righteous and devout. He was not wavering to the left nor to the right in his religious conviction. Excuse me, in his belief in God. He was devout. And he believed God's word. He was literally waiting for the Messiah to come. Not just to come and get him and take him home, but to come and restore the people. Restore the people's faith in him. So that when he does come, the people will maybe say, okay, hope, peace, pray, that they will say, okay, yes, this is the Messiah that we've been taught about, that we've been raised to believe in, and look, that we've been looking forward to. And this will get them to get back to following God. Not desiring judges, not desiring kings, but desiring that God be their king. And that's what he's praying for. Not giving up on the people. Still praying for the people. And in doing this, okay, found favor with God. Now, to the point that the Holy Ghost, I want you to get this. The Holy Ghost not only just came upon him, but the Holy Ghost told him that you will not die before you see the Lord's Messiah. You're not going to die until you see him. Now, a lot of us have said, oh, praise be to God, because he didn't know when the Messiah was coming. The Messiah might be years on up the road, and he had the assurance of knowing that he got years, years, while he's waiting for the Messiah to come. But I got to throw this in there. At the same token, suppose the Messiah was coming the next day or that night. Does that mean that, oh, well, the Messiah's come now? You out. You out, Simeon. Some people could take that attitude, but that wasn't Simeon's attitude. He was still continuing to do just what he'd been doing every day, praying, living, and waiting for the Messiah. And I want you to take note of what I said. Don't take it lightly. When I say he was praying while waiting, no, he just wasn't waiting for the Messiah to come that he could die. He's praying for the people. He had compassion. He had it in his heart for the people. No, I'm not giving up on him. I know that my people can be hard-headed. I know they can be stiff-necked. I know they can be disobedient. Yes, they can be whiners. They can do all of that. But they're still my people. They're still God's chosen people. God has not given up on them to the point that he's going to even send his own son, the Messiah, to come, that the people would see him, hear him, obey him. So he had not given up on the people, so neither am I. And God saw Simeon and said, "Yes, you're faithful, you're righteous, you're devout. You're not going to die until you see the Messiah." And he went on doing what he did every day. Now I'm just going to say a few things, and I'm going to be done. Now, when we look at verse 25, and by the way, to give you a subject for today, you know how I do. We should be still in the Christmas story, and we're talking about Simeon, a true believer. Simeon, a true believer. And I know some of you are saying, "I don't see where this Christmas story it comes in yet." But this is, y'all stay with me. We're going to get right there. Now, verse 25, despite how many of the people were living in Israel, Simeon had been singled out as one who was living righteously in the valley. And he was also found to have a heart for Israel. Remember, we've been saying he has a heart for Israel. And Simeon also believed in his heart that the Messiah was going to come and restore Israel. Now, we're told right here in the scripture that the Holy Spirit was on him. Okay. Now, I know a lot of you say, "Well, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in us today." Well, we're not talking about today. We're talking about, like a lot of us like to refer to as Old Testament times. Okay. Now, even though this recording is in Luke, but this had not been written yet. They had the Old Testament to study and go by. Even though it happened during the time where Luke was around. But it'll become a little bit clearer to you. Just stay with me. Stay with me a little bit longer. I'm not going to be that much longer. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit had come upon him. Okay. And it was this Holy Spirit that revealed the promise to Simeon that he would not die before he had the chance to see the Lord's Messiah. I want you, don't forget that. Now, this is what was told to him, that he would not die until he see the Lord's Messiah. Now, y'all stay with that. And don't forget that point. Jot that, keep that in your head. Write it down if you have to, or even write it on the table if you have. But I don't want you to forget that point, that the promise that he would see the Lord's Messiah. Now to us, this looks like God blessed Simeon for his faithfulness. No problem with that. Now, even then, there were a number of false people going around claiming to be the Messiah. Okay, there's a lot of false prophets going around even then. But the Holy Spirit made it clear to Simeon that it would be God's Messiah who he would see. And he'd know it when he see it. He would know it. That Holy Spirit that came upon him would reveal it to him who he was, that you were. Yes, you are in the presence of God's Messiah. But you don't have to take my word for it. Just stay with me. I'm gonna make it very clear. And it's all gonna hit you just that quick. Okay. Now, we can look at this as a tremendous blessing because the Messiah may not be coming for years. But however, he'd be coming the next day. It didn't matter. It didn't matter, Simeon, when he came. The only thing that mattered to Simeon is that he would see him. Is that he would see him. Didn't matter if he came the next moment, long as he got a chance to see him. Okay. Now, beloved, I say we're going to be a very short, which I'm about finished already. Now, the reason why I want to include Simeon in the Christmas story, because not only was the promise that God made to Simeon very unique, I mean, think about what he said. You're not going to die until you see God's Messiah, the Lord's Messiah. Wow. What a promise. What an assurance. Now, today you might be saying, I might be saying, or anyone else might be saying, oh man. I've already been told by the doctors I got this ailment, I got this condition, I have this disease, I had this, that, and the other. But now you come around, God, and tell me that I am not going to leave here. I'm not going to die until I get to see the Messiah. Now, yes, we know that medicine was not as advanced then as it is now. And I don't know if Simeon had any aches and pains associated with his age or where he lived at or how he was living or any of that. But he had the assurance, God's promise, that he was not going to die until he see the Messiah. What a blessed hope. What a blessed assurance. How would you like to have that assurance that no matter what you're going through now, I don't care if you got diabetes, low blood, high blood, I don't care what you got. You've been assured by God you're not dying until you see the Messiah. Some of you say, boy, I would love to have that assurance that I'm not going to die until Jesus comes to grab us in the sky. There are so many people that would take that negatively, and we're not going down that road. You say, well, man, if I'm in the hospital laid up, I don't know if I want that promise or not. I'm feeling so bad that I'm almost ready to be checked to check out now. I would love for God to put on there in that clause, you're not going to die until then, but meanwhile, let me get your health together so you can feel a little bit better than you're feeling now. We would love that. None of that do we see Simeon even discussing or even thinking about. The only thing that's on his mind is the opportunity to see the Messiah. He just continued living as he had been living. That's what we see in the scripture. Okay? Now, I don't know how much time went by. But all I can say is that Simeon did not forget the promise the Holy Spirit made to him. Now, okay, I want you to get this. One day, okay, Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. Okay, remembering now at this point what God said to him. Okay, now when you read verses 27 through 35 in this second chapter of Luke, now you were wondering where the Christmas story comes in. When I watch this, you must take notice of Simeon's interactions with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit, okay, the Holy Spirit led him to go to the temple. It was at this time where Mary and Joseph was bringing Jesus to the temple because, as is their custom and in part of their culture, And so many days, there's certain things that you have to do with your infant child. Things like maybe circumcision or blessings or whatever. I'm not gonna, bog you down with all of those things. But no matter what they were, it was time to take your infant child to the temple. Okay, for whatever rituals they had to do, purification rituals, what happened, it was time to bring him there. And we know that the word tells us that God didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill them, and this is all. So God is being, obedient to the laws of the land. So, okay, so Simeon, now Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to the temple. Over here, Simeon is being led to go to the temple. We see that happening. Now, when the word of God says in the 27th verse of St. Luke that moved by the Spirit, okay, Simeon went into the temple courts. Now, you want you see how God has fixed this here. Simeon's coming into the temple courts. And then the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Now, watch this. Remember the promise that was given to Simeon that you will not die until you get to see God's Messiah. But look at what the scripture says here. Simeon took him in his arms. Do y'all hear what the word says? Simeon took Jesus in his arms. Some of y'all are shouting right now. Can you imagine the many days Simeon would be have been praying about and for Israel? Can you imagine how many days, years even, he has been living, obeying, being obedient to the laws of God? And can you imagine having been approached by the Spirit of the Lord and being told that you're not going to die until you get to see the Messiah? Just that alone is enough. Is enough to give you the incentive, to give you the excitement, to make you want to run a little bit further, to make you want to continue on, no matter what life is doing to you. No matter what your station is in life. No matter how poor you may be, no matter how wealthy you may be, no matter whether you're living in a tent, living in the street, or living in a mansion, but to know that you're not going to die until you get to see the Messiah, it will make it all worthwhile. But even beyond Simeon's wildest imaginations, here he is with the Savior of the world, with God's only begotten Son, with God Himself in his arms. In his arms. He would have been content to be able to look down upon him. But here he has him in his arms, beloved. My Lord, have mercy. He has him in his arms. He was so overcome, so overwhelmed. I can hardly imagine how he must have felt when he said these words. Sovereign Lord. Look at how he's praising God. Sovereign Lord. As you had promised. As you had promised. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. You've gone beyond what you promised. You told me I'd be able to see him, but Lord, you, sovereign Lord, you've allowed me to hold him in my Lord, my Savior, my Messiah. You've allowed me to hold him. My eyes have seen your salvation. You can take me right this moment. You can dismiss me right now, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And you have prepared this in the sight of all nations, all the world to see. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. You allow me to not just see him, but to hold him. Well, Simeon didn't keep these thoughts to himself. He was saying these things out loud. Mary and Joseph were, they were just amazed at what was being said about Jesus. But then, Simeon didn't stop there. He blessed them. He blessed Mary and Joseph. And this is what he said to Mary. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And oh, a sword will pierce your own soul as well. Prophesy, bless them. Prophesy to them while holding the Lord's Messiah in his very arms. Beloved, we can't help but notice how there are so many people living, okay, such ungodly lives. We said that. But I want you to understand something. The reason why I want to include Simeon in the Christmas story is because not only was the promise that God made to Simeon very unique, but when we read verses 27 and 35, we must take notice of Simeon's interaction with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And we cannot ignore the blessing and prophecies that Simeon spoke. Simeon wasn't just talking. He was speaking prophecies. Prophecies that go back into Isaiah, Acts, Matthew, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 Peter. We'll see. All of these will attest that Simeon was speaking prophecies. Yes, that's what Simeon was doing. Prophecies about the coming Messiah. Simeon. You see how God had their lives intertwined. You never know who God is going to put in your life and what effect they're going to have in your very life. Beloved, I'll say this here as I'm getting ready to close. Okay. Are you one of those who are so busy complaining about how the world is doing what the world does? What do you expect from the world to do? When you see these terrible things being done, the murderings, the devastations, all these terrible things, what do you expect the world to do? When we read about that folks are going to be doing today, just like they were doing back in the days of Noah, not just a negative thing. Yes, people were going about doing different things, regular things, as we would say today, but they were doing so many terrible things as well. What do you expect the world to do? What do you expect for people who are not serving, following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not following what he has left us to do, what he has commanded us to do, what he has commissioned us to do, what he expects for his followers to do? What do you expect for the world to do? They're not his followers. Why are you surprised when you hear about something so devastating, something so terrible being done by somebody in the world? When we read in the scriptures that at some points in times they did whatever they desired to do in their heart, whatever they thought in their heart to do, they did. So why are you expecting so much more of the folks today? They're going to do what they want to do in their hearts as well. Are you praying like Simeon prayed? Are you living like Simeon lived? Are you waiting like Simeon waited? Are you really a true believer? Okay. Are you praying for the souls that belong to God as you are going about doing your part to help fulfill what thus says the Great Commission? Are you doing your part? Simeon was doing his part. Are you doing your part as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you praying? Are you living? Are you waiting? Are you doing as Simeon did? Or is your focus so much on trying to go to heaven that you've allowed yourself to lose your compassion for the many souls that appear to be going to hell? The very souls that we're supposed to be reaching out to. The very soul that we're supposed to be ministering to. The very soul that we were commissioned and commanded to go out and teach. Teach them to obey everything that God has told us to do. He didn't just say go out and tell them and give them a list of the Ten Commandments. Go out and give them a list of the different laws, the Deuteronomical laws, or give them a list of different things that God has commanded us to do. He said go out and teach them to obey them. Are we doing that? It's not enough to tell the kleptomaniac, God said, thou shalt not steal. He's a kleptomaniac. Are you teaching him how to stop stealing? Steps he can take to try to stop from doing what he's doing? Are you really telling the drug addict how they can stop taking their drug? How the alcoholic can stop with his drink? How the whoremonger can stop his fornicating and adulterous ways? Are you telling that person how they can stop living lasciviously and with so many debaucheries in their lives? Are you teaching them how to abstain from this? Are you one of those going around telling people, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, without telling them what kind of mind that is? What kind of mind that he's telling you to have? Teach. teach. He didn't go out and hoop them happy. He didn't say go out there and holler at them. He said teach them. They have to be taught. You can't assume anything because a person is a certain age, because a person has a certain amount of formal education, because a person has certain a number of degrees behind their names that they know. Teach them. I'm saying to you, you have to answer this for yourself. Could the account of Simeon be excluded from the Christmas story? I mean, could the Christmas story be just as effective if we didn't even talk about Simeon? Some of you are saying, sure it could. Some of you are saying, I'm not sure if it could or couldn't. But the bottom line is that Simeon has a role in this Christmas story. He's another character in this story. And I believe he has a right to be spoken of. Beloved, I'm saying this to you and I'm finished. Simeon was a true believer. I'm not going to be so bold to say because of the way he believed, God blessed him, the promise that he gave him. God blesses as he chooses to bless. Even Simeon called him sovereign. You do, God does what he wants to do. But we do know this, that we have been told in the word that we should work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. The Lord has laid it upon your heart to do certain things. You should be doing them. He has given you gifts and talents to enable you to do certain things to help upbuild the kingdom. You should be utilizing them. Not talking about them, not thinking about them, but doing them. We need to understand that is the Lord that gives us the ability to move, to breathe, to go about our daily occupations. We say that, but how many of us are really, really believing that and acting and living in that way? When the Lord allows you to open up your eyes on this side of glory and gives you the strength even to get up out of your bed, there's work to be done. I'm not saying you have to live each second of the day preaching, teaching, ministering. No, I'm not crazy. But as you go about doing those things that the Lord enables you to do, you should be seeking, hoping for an opportunity to help do your part, to help fulfill the dictates of the Great Commission. And you should be enabling yourself or doing what you can so that you can do this better. If the God has given you a gift, you should be honing that gift. The opportunity the Lord gives you to study and hear his word, I don't care if it's in the written word in the Bible, in books, or if it's on television listening to somebody minister the word or watching someone minister the word. You should be doing everything you can, taking advantage of every opportunity given you so that you can become better at fulfilling your part in the Great Commission. I'm saying this, beloved, and I'm finished. I'm completely finished. Are we true believers? Are you a true believer? Are you doing even as Simeon did? Not sitting around complaining about how bad things are. Not even sitting around just talking about it. Not sitting around. Or are you praying? Do not take for granted being able to pray. That means you're in communication with your Heavenly Father. Don't take praying lightly. It's so so important to be able to ask my Heavenly Father to do some things for my people, for His people. The Christmas story, Simeon, a true believer. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. I hope and pray that something in this message is encouraging you if you have not yet become a true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would take this opportunity today to receive Jesus into your heart, to ask him into your heart, to acknowledge the fact that, yes, Lord, I have not been a true believer. I need you to save my soul, that I might have a compassion, a heart for God's people, that I too could be saved and be encouraged to pray and live and wait for the Lord. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.